Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning believing that you are the God who speaks. You are the God who changes our lives. The power is not in the voice of man or in the presentation or in the words that we speak, except that is the word of God. The power is in the ministry of the Holy Spirit working through the message in the hearts of people to bring conviction, enlightenment, and transformation. So, Heavenly Father, pray that you take control of our ears, of our minds, of our hearts, and we pray that you speak straightforward to our hearts and empower us to live a mighty Christian life in the spiritual warfare we are in. Thank you so much for your Son Jesus, because of whom we have become the Church of the Living God. And thank you for your Holy Scripture that is a life unto us and speaks to us. And we thank you so much for your grace and mercy. We pray that your presence be with us, save us from all distractions and assaults of the enemy, and pray that you be glorified, you be the center, and you be magnified. In the name of our Lord Jesus, who loved us and gave his life for us and rose from the dead, we offer this prayer. Amen. 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 Yeah, please turn with me your Bibles to a very important message that I'm going to speak with you. And before that, I would like to remind you this morning, as many Christians are not aware of the way that they are living their Christian life, is that Christian life is not a playground. We are not having a game. It's a battlefield. And what we must also understand is that in almost every nation, we see there are soldiers and civilians, right? Soldiers will be on the border fighting against the enemies for the welfare of the civilians. And civilians live their ordinary, mundane lives and enjoy the daily life in the society. But in the Christian faith, there are no soldiers and civilians, because every Christian is a warrior. Every Christian is a soldier, and every Christian is engaged in warfare, in the battle. And as we go ahead, I would like you to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1, because this is what we need to understand in order to see what we are listening. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 1, it says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." After speaking about the doctrine, about the spiritual riches, about the position that we have in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the first three chapters, Paul takes chapter 4, 5, and 6 to explain about the duties of a Christian. That's the habit of Paul. He first lays the doctrine and then speaks about the duties. And at the very beginning of the verse of the chapter, he says that you need to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, which is the call of salvation. You have listened in the first three chapters. Now, believers, you live in a way, you walk in a way that fulfills the calling of your life, that is worthy of your calling. And the rest of the content in the chapters, chapter 4, 5, and 6, is a description about how to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And you all know that, many of you know that, we have particularly dealt with what it means to live a spiritual life from Ephesians chapter 5, 18 till 6 verse 9, covering what it means to live a spiritual life in the church. And I have given three series on that. And then later, Alan spoke on marriage. And then Dion spoke about parenting. And then Shankar spoke about living a spiritual life in the workplace. And today, and in the following weeks, we will be looking at Ephesians chapter 6 from verses 10 through to 18, which is Paul's final exhortation in his letter to the Ephesian believers. So please turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. And may the Spirit of God open the eyes of our heart and enlighten our minds, penetrate our souls as we dwell upon this passage. And this is what the Lord says to you and me through this passage. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truths, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. May God honor his word in our hearts. The title to this entire passage that I have given is The Christian Warrior. The Christian Warrior. I love that word warrior. Why? Because it speaks about bravery. It speaks about courage. It speaks about fight. It speaks about warfare. And that's what we are in the Christian faith. The warriors of the Lord. And I would like to encourage you this morning to say this to yourself. I am a Christian warrior. I am a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have divided this entire passage, verses 10 through 18, into three different sections. The first section I call the Christian's warfare. And the second section, the Christian's weapon. And the third section, the Christian's watchfulness. And today, we will be looking at the Christian's warfare from verse 10 to 12. And listen to what the Spirit of God inspired Paul to write to the church in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. The word finally speaks to us that after giving many exhortations above, right from chapter 4 through 5 and 6, and at the end of the Ephesians, Paul writes finally, which means this is my final exhortation to you, church, after many exhortations above. And the final exhortation that Paul gives is this. He begins with the words, be strong. Be strong. I think you remember my explanation when I have given my exposition from Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18. And I think you remember the word similarly, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And here Paul says that be strong, which is a passive voice, which is a passive strength, which means the strength is not in yourself. You need to find that strength externally. Allow yourself to be filled with the strength. Find your strength. In other words, when Paul is telling, be strong, find your strength. And you need to understand that these words, be strong, it is a command. It is not a request. It is not an option. To be a Christian is to be a strong Christian, is to be a strong woman, is to be a strong man. To be a Christian and to live in weakness is not suitable to be called as a Christian. When the Bible says that, be strong, it says that you must be actively seeking to be strong in your Christian life. You cannot be passive from seeking to be strong, or you cannot expect yourself to be strong automatically. So many Christians today in the churches, and maybe some of you, are weak, living a defeated life, not because you don't have the strength at your disposal. It is because you are passive. It is because you are expecting some miracle to happen automatically so that you can remain strong. People, listen to this carefully. The Lord says to you, the Spirit of God speaks to your heart this morning, be strong. There is no option for you to live a weak, fearful, and cowardly life, which is a disgrace to live as a Christian. You know, some of you have contracted coronavirus during this pandemic, which is a sad thing, but praise God, God has listened to our prayers and you were restored. And then, you know, many of us have not contracted coronavirus. But think about this carefully. What do you do when you contract coronavirus? What do? You take active precautions, right? You will not be passive, sitting, oh, I'm having coronavirus and something automatically happened in my body and you just sit and don't do anything. No, that's not what you do. You take active precautions to strengthen your body against the virus. You take vitamins. You take healthy diet. You take antibodies. You take all things that is possible so that you would not die in your weakness when you are contracted with coronavirus. You fight against it. In the same way, my dear brothers and sisters, when you see yourself weak or when you are becoming weak, don't be passive. Don't expect something automatically happening. You must immediately seek to strengthen yourself. Now listen to this carefully. Passivity worsens your weakness. Passivity worsens your weakness. But how to strengthen yourself? Now the Bible never. Now let me tell you this. The world says it. But I've seen many Christian motivational speakers also saying this in the churches, in their books to many people. And this phrase I have never found anywhere in the entire Bible. You know what is that phrase? Believe in yourself. You don't find that phrase in the Bible. Believe in yourself. And the Bible does not just say, be strong, be brave, you are a man, you are a woman. No, that's not what it says. The strength to stay strong doesn't come from you. You know what the Bible says here? Be strong in the Lord. The command to be strong is to be strong in the Lord. It is in the person Christ Jesus that you have your strength. Your strength is in the Lord. Your wisdom is in the Lord. Your courage is in the Lord. Your bravery is in the Lord. Your victory is in the Lord. Apart from Christ, you are as weak as grass in the field. Your empowerment comes from your relationship with the resurrected Lord. You know, when I read these words, my mind immediately went to what our beloved Lord said in John chapter 15 verse 5. What did the Lord say there? Hear these beautiful, life-giving words. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. What powerful words that the Lord Jesus spoke over here. It is in me. You are weak, not because you are weak. Are you understanding this? You are fearful not because you are coward. You are weak because you are not finding your strength in the Lord, but you are relying upon yourself. Jesus says here that, if you abide in me, I in you, you bear much fruit. It doesn't matter whether you're white or black. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter whether you're skillful or not skillful, smart or fool. It doesn't matter how young or old are you. What matters is that you abide in the Lord. And the Lord tells here, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. You will be more stronger. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Christian life is not given birth by any man so that you can live that life in human power. Christian life is birthed and founded and established by the God of the heavens and the earth. And it is only in abiding in him that you and I can be strong. People, one thing we need to understand, that we are weak and impotent, powerless in spiritual warfare. And you need to understand, and you need to know your enemy, that the devil is mightier and smarter than us. Do you understand that? The devil is mightier and smarter than us. Joel Canvill said it right. For our enemies are such as no human power can withstand. Do you hear these words? Our enemy is so great, so mighty, so clever, that no human power can withstand. And that's what exactly Martin Luther said. And we sang this song this morning. For still our ancient foe does seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. Do you hear that final phrase? On earth, there is no one who is equal with the devil. There is only one person who conquered the devil. There is only one person who is mightier than the devil. There is only one person who is cleverer than the devil. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is the one alone who destroyed the devil and the cross. And one thing we need to understand, that the reason why Christ destroyed the devil on the cross is not to prove himself victorious. He is already victorious. He knows that he is greater, powerful, mightier, wiser than the devil. He did not prove to the devil that I am mightier than you. He did that for you and for me. Hebrews 2:14 says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. Do you see that here, people? In the humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power, in the weakness, in the body, in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the devil is destroyed. And that's why the Bible says here, be strong in the Lord, because the Lord is the only conqueror of the enemy, and your strength comes only in the Lord. And it even goes further, says that, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. You see here? It is not in the strength of yourself or in the strength of people. It says in the strength of his might. Because only the power of God can conquer the devil. Only the power of God can defeat the devil. Only the power of God can crush the devil. Why? Because God is mighty. God is strong. God is all powerful. The more you know how greater God is, the more you will be stronger in conquering the devil in your life. And we should know that. Although the devil is greater than us, although the devil is mightier than us, although the devil is wiser than us, Satan is not greater than God. He is not even equal with God. Some believers think that Satan is a competitor. God has no competitors, people. Satan is not equal with God. Satan is not equal. Nothing can stand against the Lord. And that's why the Bible could say, your strength comes from the strength of God. You know, these days I'm reading the book of Isaiah. It's been a long time that I haven't read that book. And one thing that is very encouraging is that the people of Israel were going through weakness and shatteredness. And when I was reading this passage, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, look to the Lord. Focus on him, dwell upon him, because it is not by dwelling and meditating on the devil that you become stronger. It is by dwelling and meditating on the Lord that you become stronger. And that thought drove me to Isaiah 40 about what the Lord said over there. And he says here similarly, know me, know my strength, be strong in me. Just read this short passage from Isaiah chapter 40. Please turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 40 and read from verse 27 to 31. And listen, how strong and powerful are these words. Isaiah 40, 27 to 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Now listen carefully what the Lord says. The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Now you see what further it says. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagles, with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know what the Lord says here? Look unto me. Know who am I? I am the creator of the heavens and the earth. I am mightier. I am stronger. I am greater. Look unto me. It is by looking unto me that you receive your strengths. Dear church, dear brothers and sisters, how long will you remain passive in your life? How long will you expect something breakthrough happening? Rise up. Stand upon your feet this morning. Enough of that defeat in your life. Enough of that weakness in your life. Enough of that passivity in your life. Listen to what the word of God says here. Look unto the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Dear brothers and sisters, may I remind you this morning that your strength is not in knowledge and doctrines. I love knowledge. I love doctrines, but I know that the strength is not there. Your strength is not in books and information. Your strength is not in skills and strategies. Your strength is not in principles. No matter how many moral principles that you learn, that's not where your strength lies. The more you learn, the more you feel guilty that you are unable to follow the lessons you are learning. And let me also tell you that your strength is not in people. It is not in a pastor. Some people, you know, think that if you rush to pastor, there is an answer for your problems. No, your strength is not in pastors, no matter how great that servant of God is. Your strength is not in the saints. Some people spend a lot of time with saints, thinking that they will receive strength. No, your strength is not in people, in knowledge, in strategies, in principles, in anything of these things. These are only the means. And all these means should lead you to the person Christ. If the doctrine is not leading you to the person Christ, what good is the doctrine? If the books that you're reading is not drawing closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, what good are those books? If the people you're fellowshipping, that they are not drawing you to the person Christ, what good are those people? Nothing of this is helpful if we don't find strength in the Lord, in the person Christ Jesus. You know, some of us, and I have even struggled this, whenever you are going through a very tough time, weakness, some people sit before the television, browse the computer, or play with the phone, thinking that they will be refreshed. My goodness, where does it say in the Bible that you will be refreshed sitting before the television? Refreshed sitting before the system? Get out of that and sit before the Lord. Bow your knees and seek the Lord, because your strength comes only from the Lord. But where will the devil let you? He will let you to sit before the television for hours. But if you want to see the devil fighting against you, get on your knees. And you will see the enemy come right before your face and does everything possible not to let you pray. Not to let you depend on the Lord. Because he knows that your strength comes from the Lord. Oh, the enemy knows where your strength lies. Don't you know, the children of God, where your strength lies? I'm not talking about what you know here. I'm talking about what we know in the heart. What you and I need to understand is that, brothers and sisters, Christianity is not a religion of rules and regulations and rituals. It is a relationship with the ruler of the heavens and the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you hear this? Christianity is not a religion of rules and regulations and rituals. It is a relationship with the ruler of the heavens and the earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, by looking unto him, no matter how craftier, stronger, mightier your enemy is, but if you look unto the Lord and find strength in him, you will soar on wings like eagles and triumph over the enemy. You know, I'm again reminded of that tiny little David. Many of us just hear about that story in the Sunday school, but I think it's a great encouragement for adults, even in the Christian faith. Think about David's mighty words in his fight against the giant Goliath. It is said that Goliath was over 9.5 feet tall. 9.5 feet could be twice the height of David. And I think if he is in the basketball team, there is no need for him to jump. He can just throw the ball and it falls into the basket. So tall. And he had heavy, mighty weapons that by looking at him, even the king, mightier Saul and David's brothers and all the Israel were afraid. And this tiny little fellow comes. And what does he say? People just don't see it as a story. It's a historical fact. This is the word. These are the words of this tiny, short, little David in 1 Samuel 17:45. And you know what he said here? My goodness. My goodness. What powerful words he spoke in 1 Samuel 17:45. And you know what he told to the Goliath, the giant Goliath? He was not afraid of him because more than the strength of his enemy, he knew the strength of his God. And that's why he could say, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the angel armies, the God of the armies of Israel. I come to you. When David said that in the name of the Lord, he's telling in the person, Lord. I know this Lord. I know this God. I know how mighty is stronger. And I come to you in the name of this Lord and I conquer you. From where does David get this courage? Because he found his strength in the Lord. He knew the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, do you and I know this Lord in the way David knew? Can we say this? Can we say what David said? You know, recently I was walking in the park nearby my house. And it's my habit to walk every day there. And recently I was walking in the park. And interestingly, I observed two boys, short little boys, walking close by me. And I could feel their presence. And that is so near. And I was interested and I was wondering why these guys are sticking so close to me. And I asked them what happened. And these guys said that they pointed me to some dogs over there. And they said that we are afraid of those dogs. And I told them, don't fear. I felt like a giant man. And I told them, don't fear. Just stay close to me. And I scared away the dogs and the dogs were running away. And immediately these boys were strengthened in my presence. And they too were scaring away the dogs. And they were shouting at the dogs, telling. And the dogs were running away. And I was smiling at them when they were doing that. My goodness, these guys were so coward. And just because I did that in my presence, they were shouting at the dogs and the dogs were running away. And immediately a thought dawned on me. You know what is that? That's my position in the Lord against the devil and his demons. That's your position in the Lord against the devil and the demons. It is only in the Lord that you will find your strength. And that's why we sung this song in the morning. Martin Luther said that, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. If you depend on your own strength, if you depend on yourself, you will lose the battle. We're the right man, not on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Who is this right man? Who is this man of God? That person is Christ Jesus, our Lord. And he must win the battle. And one thing we need to understand, brothers and sisters, the devil is not afraid of your knowledge. The devil is not afraid of your skills. The devil is not afraid of your smartness. The devil is not afraid of how smart you are, how skillful you are, knowledgeable you are. You are nothing before him. Are you understanding? He has been deceiving the world. He has been handling the world since the creation. He knows how people are, what people are. We are nothing before him. But one thing is also the fact. You know what is that? He fears only Christ in you and you abiding in him. That's his only fear. He shudders the name of God. And do you remember what James 2:19 says? You believe that God is one? You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Woof. They don't shudder at you. They don't shudder at me. But they shudder at the name of the Lord. And that's why the scripture says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. And then Paul keeps on saying, continues saying in Ephesians 6:11, now, as you are strong in the Lord, the Lord has also given you the providence. And what is that? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. We must abide in the Lord, who is the source, and we must also put on the whole armor of God, which is God's providence to us. The source is important, and the providence in him is also important. I see that generally there are two extremes in Christianity today. One is that some people cling to the provider and ignore the providence. They say that my trust is in the Lord, I depend on the Lord, but they foolishly ignore the providence, which is God's providence. That's nonsense, that foolishness. You need to cling to the provider and use the providence. And there is another extreme. Some idolize the providence and neglect the provider. They only think about the means, the providence, and they neglect to depend on the source. But the balanced Christian life is, we must depend on the provider and use his providence. And what is the providence that God has given us in him? Put on the whole armor of God. Your own armor is useless. It doesn't say that. Put on your own armor. It says the whole armor of God. The armor that you need to put on belongs to God. And what is that armor? Belt of truths. Breastplate of righteousness. Shoes with the gospel of peace. Shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. I will explain you in detail in my next sermon. I'm not going to dwell on the armor of God today. But I would like to prepare the ground. How important it is for you to understand that you are in a warfare. You are not equal with the devil. You need to find strength in the Lord. And you need to take on the whole armor of God. Why should you put on the whole armor of God? What is the reason? Why? You know why? The scripture gives a reason. Put on the whole armor of God that the purpose is you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. You observe the word schemes, which in Greek is methodia, cunning, deceptions, tactics, trickery. You need to stand against the devil's schemes, who is a slanderer. And you know, just as we found the attribute of God, that he is almighty, that he is stronger, we also see here the attribute of the devil. You know what is the attribute of the devil, who is the lord of demons, lord of the evil spirits, lord of the fallen angels? He is a schemer. He is a deceiver. A lot of Christians don't live their lives while being conscious that they are either in the Lord or they are becoming victims of the enemy. You cannot stay in this world on the neutral ground. Are you understanding? You cannot say that I am not either with the Lord or with the devil. Or I am not strong in the Lord or I am not a victim of the devil. If you are not strong in the Lord by default, you are a victim of the devil. And if you are not a victim of the devil by default, you are strong in the Lord. There is no other ground. Do you understand that? And you need to know who your enemy is. Just as you should know who your God is. Your enemy is a deceiver. Let me show to you some scriptures to strengthen your understanding of how deceptive it is. Because that's what I see is doing. He's deceiving preachers today so that they can preach false doctrines and deceive the church. He's deceiving the believers today so that they in the deceptions would live a defeated Christian life. And I would like to convince you how the Bible speaks about this attribute of the devil, that he is a great deceiver. See, for example, Revelation chapter 12 verse 9. Revelation 12 verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth and his angels were thrown down with him. Do you see the phrase that is used? The deceiver of the whole world. The whole world is under the deception of the enemy. And Christians, believers, although they are free by the blood of Christ from the bondage of Satan, but they are still vulnerable to the deceptions of the devil. Are you understanding? Although we are free from the bondage of Satan, we are not free from the deceptions of the enemy. We are vulnerable. We are still prone to be deceived by the devil. And you and I should be careful how many times I have seen myself being deceived by the devil. How many times I have seen people in the church deceived by the devil. Oh, so many are being deceived. And that's why Paul says again in 2 Corinthians 2:11. 2 Corinthians 2:11, again it says here, so that we would not be outwitted. In other words, it is deceived. So that we, believers, would not be deceived by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his designs. The scripture encourages us, know the schemes of the devil, the deceptions of the devil. Don't be ignorant of that. Your ignorance is a root to the devil, is a cause to the devil, is a foothold to the devil to deceive you. Don't be deceived by Satan. Don't be ignorant of his designs. See again in 2 Corinthians 11:3, what Paul says over here. It says here that to the church in Corinth and to us today, but I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his cunning, your thoughts will be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. Do you see that here, people? The enemy has started his first game in the Garden of Eden. And he's still here with us today. What did he do in the Garden of Eden? When God said that the day you will eat the fruit, you will die. The serpent told Eve, you will not die. Do you see how he deceived her? How did he deceive? The Bible says that by his cunning. That's what his attribute nature is. He is a deceiver. And your thoughts would not be led astray from a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. People, it is here that he first plays the games. And listen carefully. If the devil could deceive your mind, he can easily misdirect your conduct. In every person I see that there is a misdirection in their conduct. I see that there is a deception in their mind. And you and I should be careful about what we believe, because what we believe directs us how we behave. And that's what he has done all through the centuries. And again, look at another scripture. 2 Corinthians 11:14 to 15. 2 Corinthians 11:14 to 15. Here are even stronger words. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end corresponds to their deeds. How many people today, how many preachers today are false preachers? And today he's even deceived some people. You know how he deceived? Don't judge. Don't judge. And he uses a scripture actually without understanding the context. Don't judge anyone. God will take care of it. My goodness. These are servants of unrighteousness. They disguise themselves. Many pastors today, many preachers today are disguising as angel of light. Satan himself disguises. So are his servants. You need to understand the deception. We will look more into how to find these schemes in the next sermon. But you need to understand, people, there are lots of people today in Christianity. Lot of pastors today, lot of preachers today, lot of teachers today, lot of people on YouTube, lot of people on internet who have disguised themselves as servants of righteousness, because Satan himself, their master, disguises himself as an angel of light. And you know, people, amazingly, what did he try to do to the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. What did he do there? In Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus, famously known. He tried to deceive even Jesus. He told him that, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Prove your identity, Jesus. Prove your identity. You know, some of us, this temptation I've seen very clearly. Know the doctrines. Because everyone knows, if you don't know the doctrines, people think you are a fool. So study the doctrines so that you would prove yourself. Not so that you would love God, worship God, enjoy God. Prove that Stephen David is something. He's not a fool. Be careful, people. This is what he tried to do to the Lord Jesus. If you are the Son of God, command the stones to become loaves of bread. And he also said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. Now listen carefully, people. If the devil could attempt to deceive the Lord Jesus. Jesus was not deceived, by the way. But he did attempt to deceive Jesus. What do you think about you and me? Do you think it would spare you and me? Do you think you and I could easily conquer the deceptions of the enemy if you don't take up the whole armor of God? Deception is the devil's powerful weapon against the believers. And many times, we become victims of his schemes. Many times. And you will see next week, as I explain about the armor of God, how many of us often fall into these deceptions of the enemy? And let me tell you that you cannot stand against the schemes of this devil without the whole armor of God. Why? Why should you take the whole armor of God? Verse 12 says, Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. As we dwell upon these final words, let me tell you there are two problems that I observe in Christianity. And just see yourself where do you fall. Some Christians live as if they are not in spiritual warfare. They live their family life, see the conflicts, and they don't see the warfare. They see that their spouse is their enemy. In the workplace, they don't see that they are in the spiritual warfare. In the church, they don't see that they are in a spiritual warfare. They do not see the devil and demons are active against them. Are you understanding, people? You know, in India, a lot of people think that if you pass through the graveyard, the devil and the demons will be there. What do you think devil and demons will do in the graveyard? Playing with the dead bodies or with the bones over there? Come out of that pagan understanding. He will be there in your house. He will be there in the church. He will be there around us. Because that's where you are. And that's what he wants to do against you. They do not see that. A lot of people live as if the devil and demons are not active against them. That's what exactly Martin Lloyd-Jones, that great expository preacher, said. I am certain that one of the main causes of the ill state, bad state of the church today is the fact that the devil is being forgotten. Devil is forgotten in the Christian churches today. Devil is forgotten in the Christian lives today. Devil is forgotten in the Christian families today. And today I would like to remind you from this passage, do not forget your enemy as many people have forgotten. In fact, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 reminds us, be sober minded, be watchful. Are you understanding? 1 Peter 5 8 says that, be sober minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's not even busy in the world. He's also busy in your family. He's busy in your personal life. He's busy in the church. Be sober-minded and be watchful. You know, some others are gone to another extreme. Some have forgotten the devil. And some others only remember the devil. They are only interested in spiritual warfare, spiritism, warfare, devil, demons, and they're so keen about that, often thinking and speaking more about the devil and demons. They see the devil in the sneeze. They see the devil in the stumble. They see the devil in the cough. They see the devil in the headache. In everything, they see the devil. That's another extreme. Now, you should know that the Bible speaks more about who God is and very little about Satan. So whatever the Bible reveals, know that and maintain that balance. Don't ignore him completely and don't get too interested in him. And the Bible tells you that, wrestle. Do you see the word wrestle? It's a language of the sport of wrestling in the first century. We all know that, right? It's a hand-to-hand combat. It's a personal fight. It's not an online video game, okay? A lot of people think that Christian life is a video game. No, it's not a video game. It's a hand-to-hand fight. The Bible tells us that we are in hand-to-hand fight with the devil. We are in face-to-face warfare with the devil. And that's why you need to take the whole armor of God. Why? Because you do not wrestle against flesh and blood. The warfare that you are in is a spiritual warfare. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. Some people only take this, and miss the context. Oh, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We are wrestling against the powers of darkness. The reason why it is said is, the reason why you should wear the spiritual armor. The reason why you should take the whole armor of God is because you are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We are not wrestling against humans. If you are in physical warfare, you need physical weapons. But you are not in physical warfare. You are in spiritual warfare. And that's why you need to take the whole armor of God. And it says, what is our battle against then? In verse 12 it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Because you're not wrestling against humans, your human strength and resources are not enough. You need the armor of God. And you see what it says in verse 13. Therefore, again he repeats. In 11 it says, take on the whole armor of God. And the reason he gives, therefore, because we are wrestling against rulers, authorities, and spiritual forces, and cosmic powers, because of that, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. You know what is the interesting thing? In verse 12, the word against is used 5 times. The word against is used 5 times. Wrestle speaks about fight. You know one thing, people? I see so many believers, even in Ecclesia Evangelical Fellowship, I don't see them as fighters. Are you a fighter, brother? Oh, sister, are you a fighter? I see many of them living as victims. Oh, I have this. Oh, I am having this. God knows how much spiritual warfare I had gone through. As I stand before you today, I was in a warfare. Warfare in preparation. Warfare yesterday night. To one brother I was sharing what warfare I was having. But that's a fighter, dude. And we are not afraid of the enemy. Why? Because the Lord is the maker of the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them. And we are in a fight. We wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against the rulers. We wrestle against the authorities. We wrestle against the cosmic powers. We wrestle against the spiritual forces in the heavenly places. Now, in the word heavenly places means invisible reality. Okay, it's not in the throne of God. It speaks about the invisible realm, invisible reality. Now, there is a big debate as I was doing this study. There is a debate among the Bible scholars whether these rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers, spiritual forces of evil, is it speaking about the human structure through which the evil one is working? Like political, media, judicial. Is this how this speaking about human structures through which the evil one is working? Or is this directly mentioning about evil supernatural beings themselves? There is a debate on that. But I say that no matter whatever this means, one thing is obvious. You know what is obvious? These all things, rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, spiritual forces of evil, they all speak about one thing. You know what? It speaks about the empire of the evil one in the world today. The evil, wicked spirits are active in the world and even in the church, even in your personal and family life. We are wrestling against the powers of darkness. Do you understand this? Open your eyes today that we are every day wrestling against the powers of darkness. As I blink to close this message, what is interesting as I read this book of Ephesians and read the passage, the Bible tells that in the pre-conversion state, That is, in Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 2, he speaks about the devil here. In the pre-conversion state, he says that, "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience." Every unbeliever, every non-born-again Christian, every person who is not a child of God is under the hands of the devil. He is under the prince of the air, the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. He says that about the pre-conversion state. Church, this is how we were. We were following the prince of the power of the air. No one says actually, "Oh, I follow the devil. I follow the devil." No one says that. I never heard anyone saying that. And the devil is very crafty, the way he controls people. He deceives them. He drags them away from God, drags them away from obedience to God, drags them away from the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That's how they follow the devil. If you don't believe in God, if you don't believe in the gospel, you are by default following Satan. But there is a transition that happened. Ephesians 2, 4 to 5 says, "But if not for the word B-U-T, gone case. We are all gone, perish in the bondage of Satan. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, even when we were under the control of the devil, even when we were in the bondage of Satan, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. If not for that one person, Christ, who became a man born among us, who came in flesh and blood, who took our sins upon the cross, who took our curse upon the cross, who took the wrath of God upon us upon the cross. If not for that one man, Jesus, who shed his blood and he offered his body as a sacrifice on the cross. If not for that one man, Jesus, the Son of God, who paid the atonement for the sins of people. If not for that one man, God-man, Son of God, who destroyed the devil on the cross. If not for that one person, Jesus Christ, you and I today would have been eaten, devoured, destroyed by the devil. But praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace you have been saved." And what happens in the post-conversion state now? Now he says that previously you were under the control of the devil, but Christ, by his blood and body, he delivered us from the bondage of Satan. But now, in Ephesians 6:12, now he says that in the post-conversion state, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers, against the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Now listen to this carefully, brothers and sisters. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, from devil being our father in the past, we now have God as our Father. That's what he says in Ephesians 1:2, God our Father. Because of the gospel of Christ, from devil being our ruler in the past, we now have Jesus as our Lord. That's what Ephesians 1:2 says, Jesus is our Lord. Because of the gospel of Christ, God was our enemy in the past, and we were God's enemies. But because of the gospel, now we have the devil as our enemy. And that's what Paul says in Ephesians 6:12. Because of the gospel of Christ, when we were in the domain of the devil in the past, now we have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. God dwells within us. There are so many people who say that the devil and even Christians can be demon-possessed. No, Christians cannot be demon-possessed. Why? Because we are the temple of God. We are delivered from the domain of Satan. We can become victims of schemes. But no Christian, no born-again believer, there is no single phrase that says that Christians can be demon-possessed. We are the temple of the living God. And it is only because of the gospel. So my final challenge today is this. If you are an unbeliever or a nominal Christian, you may be born in a Christian family, but you may not be born again. Hearing the messages, I speak even to some grown-up children in the EEF. You have been listening to the gospel. You need to understand this. All of you who are not born again, who are living a nominal Christian life, who are namesake Christian, let me tell you, if you are not born again, you are in the domain of the devil. Devil is your father. Devil is your ruler. You are following the prince of the power of the air. And he is destroying you. And I call you this morning. Look at the cross on which Jesus died for the forgiveness of your sins, to deliver you from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of the devil. I invite you today, repent and believe in the Lord Jesus, and he will deliver you from the evil one by his blood. Don't let him destroy you. And if you are a believer, oh, my dear brothers and sisters, let me tell you this morning, listen to this carefully. To believe in the gospel of Christ is to engage in spiritual warfare. Are you understanding? To believe in the gospel of Christ is to engage in spiritual warfare. The devil hates you. The devil is your enemy. The devil is determined to do one thing, to devour your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So be strong, church in the Lord, and in the strength of his might, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, reminding us today about who you are, that you are the Lord God Almighty, the maker and the creator of the heavens and the earth and the seas and everything in them. You will never be exhausted of power and strength. Oh, your power is unlimited. Your resources are infinite. And you call us this morning, oh, my child, why are you weak today? Oh, my child, why are you living as defeated today? Oh, my child, why are you in darkness today? Look unto me. I am the Lord, your God. Look at the heavens. Who created this? Look at the universe. Who created this? I am the Lord, your God. Find your strength in me. Find your strength in me. Heavenly Father, help us to know the schemes of the enemy. So many in the churches today are deceived. Preachers today are deceived. Oh, we don't want to be ignorant of the schemes of the enemy. We pray that through this message, our minds would be enlightened and we would know our enemy and his schemes, so that we would take on the whole armor of God, that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Oh, we thank you that through Christ we are victorious over the devil. The evil one can do no harm to us. The evil one cannot touch us, because we are covered by the blood of the Lamb. We are bought by the blood of Christ. The Holy Spirit indwells us, but our minds are not immune to the deceptions of the devil. Help us, O Lord, to be watchful and sober-minded as your word encourages us. Take up the whole armor of God. Teach us, O God, continuously, that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil in the blood of the Lamb, in the strength of the Lord, in the power of your might. In the name of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer with thanksgiving against all the works of the power of the devil, for your glory, for your honor, for your praise. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message. We believe you have been greatly encouraged in your heart. Stephen David also writes articles that are relevant to today's generation. You may read them on his blog, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. I repeat, www.messageforourage.blogspot.com. You may also email him at cstephendavid@gmail.com. I repeat, cstephendavid@gmail.com. Grace and peace be to you.